you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to this special edition of Sixers Talk, brought to you by Wilmington University. Today I'm joined by John Clark on a very special edition as we are breaking down the Sixers schedule for 2019-20. John, what jumps out to you when you look at this 82-game slate?
First of all, mad respect for the Sixers now, from a national perspective. Last couple seasons they've started on the road. You see with the Flyers, they don't have much respect. They're starting on the road out in the West Coast, which is unheard of for the Flyers. Sixers get to start at home against the Celtics. That game was in Boston last year. And then they get that Christmas Day game we talked about, 2:30 p.m. against the Bucks. And then they have six games on ABC. And that's tied with the most in the NBA. The Lakers have the most with the Sixers. And then 30% of their games are national TV. So that means when you look at all those teams out west, okay, you got all those big shot teams out there. But in the east, it's the Sixers and the Bucks, and maybe leaning towards the Sixers a little bit in their star power.
It's respect, and it's also, you allude to star power, it's entertainment. They're probably going to be one of the more entertaining teams because of the roster turnover, because they feature two of the brightest young stars in the game that do come in this season with a lot of question marks. What I'm looking forward to, and I just wrote something for NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, the My Teams app, the reunion games, the games that you're going to see. Jimmy Butler coming back, we have that. That is Miami.
November,
coming back, that is November 23rd, 7:30 p.m. start in Philly. I'm very curious the reaction that Jimmy Butler is going to get. I imagine it'll be some cheers, some boos. I'm wondering which one will outweigh. I guess it depends on what you believe. Do you believe the Sixers offered him the five-year max and he turned it down? In any case, he chose South Beach over South Philly, so I'm very interested in that. You have Indiana, T.J. McConnell's return. People are going to love to see T.J. That's November 30th. You have J.J. returning with New Orleans on December 13th. And, you know, the one that's going to be really interesting to me, if he plays basketball this season, April 5th, Orlando. If Markelle Fultz is playing basketball at that time.
You want to take action on this right now.
No.
He's on the bench. He's on the bench.
Most likely,
by the
yes.
way, how about Al Horford going back to Boston? Because obviously it looked like the Celtics wanted to keep him. And Danny Ainge, he's a little miffed about the whole thing. They were even talking about possible tampering. So that's going to be pretty exciting from the other perspective, Al Horford going back to Boston, because that's a guy leaving one of the Sixers' biggest rivals, if not the biggest, and coming to the Sixers and wanted to be with Joel Embiid. So that's going to be really cool, too, because I know they're a little hurting over that, a little salty.
But you know what? They need to get over it. They had Kemba Walker sign, 2 days before? Let's be real.
Flew up there before they had the signing period.
Everybody's tampering. This is the NBA. This is how it works. And it also bothers me, too, because Danny Ainge has said, our plan B was to get Kemba Walker. It's like, well, if your plan B was to get Kemba Walker, you probably weren't going to re-sign Al Horford anyway for the money the Sixers gave him. So, what, you were going to lowball him? Like, come on. Let's all be real about things. But I don't know if you've seen some of the responses from the Celtics fans to Al Horford's Twitter posts about him being on the Sixers, but they are less than complimentary, let's say.
I love it.
A lot of snake emojis in there. So, yeah, I am dying to see what the reaction is going to be there. Guys that are going to get good, Robert Covington, I hope he gets a good response when he comes back. He still has yet to play against the Sixers, had that knee injury, so he missed both games when Minnesota came back. Of course, a part of that Jimmy Butler trade. So that's October 30th. That's the first month of the season. You're going to see the Timberwolves back here. And, you know, I'm also interested because of Josh Richardson's recent comments saying he wanted to kill the Heat.
Yeah.
A little bit taken out of context there, but still amusing. And, you know, we're all going to make a big deal about Jimmy Butler and all that. But, you know, Josh Richardson's a prideful guy, and he's a competitor, and it's going to be interesting to see how he performs against his former team in the Heat.
Yeah, and look, I applaud the NBA because I think they've realized over the last couple years what back-to-backs do to the basketball product. Mm-hmm. Not only that, with what the Spurs have done, resting some guys. Also, 5 games in 7 nights, 4 in 5 nights. So I applaud them. They're down to a historic low on back-to-backs. 12.5 is the average. We counted several times. We wanted to make sure we were right about this. It looks like the Sixers have 13 back-to-backs.
That's the number we agreed on, yes.
We weren't good at math growing up, but we believe it's 13. And I want to ask you, with the back-to-backs, now you have Al Horford who can play center. I'm looking at that Kawhi Leonard number of 60 games that he played for the Raptors. Where do you think Joel Embiid will wind up in games, considering they have 13 back-to-backs, when we consider load management and delivering him to the playoffs?
I would say 60's on like the high side. Like, I think 60's a pretty good number for when you look at Joel Embiid, when you look at not only Al Horford, but then also they brought in a Kyle O'Quinn. Kyle O'Quinn could be a solid backup starting five for a lot of teams. With this team, the way they're constructed, he's essentially the third-string center. And when you look at his defensive metrics, one of the top kind of over the last, I believe, 5 years, Al Horford, Joel Embiid, and Kyle O'Quinn are three of the top 25 defenders in the entire NBA. So from that standpoint, you feel a lot more comfortable giving Joel Embiid that time off. And as you alluded to, with the NBA softening up, there might not be a team that benefits more than the Sixers. Because you know what? Al Horford, as much as, you know, adorable guy, really has taken care of his body, he's still 33 years old. So you don't want him playing 80 games either. You probably want him around that 60-game mark. So it'll be very interesting to see the way Brett Brown kind of distributes that. But because, again, the NBA is so top-heavy, you can pick and choose your games. You can do what the Spurs have done in recent years and say, hey, we're playing Cleveland on November 12th. Do we really need our full slate of guys to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers? Probably not.
Exactly. And you know, you've looked at the last couple seasons. Sixers have been the three seed. They had 52 wins two seasons ago, 51 last year. To me, that number doesn't matter. The number that matters is being one of the top four seeds in the East, which should be pretty darn easy this
should
year.
Be, yep.
Okay, so that is the only number that matters to me, getting a top four seed so you have home court advantage, and it is all about the playoffs. It is all about having Joel Embiid ready to go in the playoffs. That is all that matters. And, you know, you look at the first eight games, a little bit of a tough stretch because you have six out of eight on the road, and you're already starting on that second week, you know, week and a half in, you've got a four-game road swing against Portland, Utah, and Denver.
Yep.
And that's not easy because those teams are stacked as well. So a little bit of a tough start, but then you look at the end of the schedule and they close out with 6 of 10 at home, and you don't see, other than Milwaukee in there, you don't see some of the top flight teams. You've got Houston on March 31st and Portland before that. But after that, you know, Washington, Orlando. Okay, Milwaukee's pretty good. Yeah. But San Antonio, New Orleans, Memphis, Charlotte. So I think the Sixers will probably already have their seeding locked up by then, probably, as they kind of did this year as well.
Before we start breaking down some of the tougher stretches for the Sixers this season, just a reminder that Sixers Talk is brought to you by Wilmington University. Dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. It's respected, accredited, affordable education without the usual barriers. For your dream, WilmU works. Find out why at wilmu.edu.
Well, I see a couple of very tough stretches. This one in December, you have at home against Toronto and Denver. Then you have at Boston, at home against New Orleans, at Brooklyn, and then at home against Miami. That's a pretty tough stretch. Then you have starting on Christmas with that Christmas Day matchup at home against Milwaukee. Then you have at Orlando, at Miami, at Indiana, at Houston. Oklahoma City at home. Oklahoma City is obviously not going to be the same team that they've been. But then right after that, Boston on national TV on January 9th. And then, you know, the couple tough stretches here against some of these West Coast teams. This is probably the toughest stretch of the season, just looking at it on paper right now.
In March?
No, actually, this one in January, because you have at Brooklyn on MLK Day, then at Toronto, then at home against the Lakers and the Warriors. At Atlanta, so you get a little reprieve, but then you have, although Atlanta gave them a hard time last year, so I say that, but maybe I shouldn't be saying
that. Look at this stretch.
And then at Boston, at Miami, at Milwaukee. That is no joke. That is probably their toughest stretch.
You're right, but here's the good thing that I'm looking at when you point that out. And then I go ahead to March. Those games are spread out. You look at that, yeah, that Lakers game back home. Okay, if you want to start, first of all, Monday at Brooklyn. Okay, but you're Wednesday at Toronto. Okay, you get a day off. But then you get a couple days off Thursday, Friday before you come back home against the Lakers. Then you get Sunday, Monday off before you face Golden State.
Right.
There's no back-to-backs in there. And then this West Coast stretch where you've got at Clippers, at Lakers, at Sacramento, at Golden State, in March, there's no back-to-backs there as well. So yeah. I do think you're able to have your guys rested going into those games, and I think that's real important.
Yeah, and you know what? The one thing that I'm a fan of, you know, the Disney on Ice trip, that's not, you know, that thing is going to be a different this year. The game on New Year's Eve at 3 p.m., which I think most Sixers fans will be pretty happy with. Get to watch a Sixers game at 3 p.m. and then do your thing, and then don't have to go watch a game the next day on New Year's Day. Enjoy the parade. Don't have to worry about that. So that's a good thing, too.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah, so John, anything else that really, when you look at it, really jumps out at you? Any matchups, any kind of rivalries or anything where you're really looking forward to it?
Well, you mentioned Jimmy Butler coming back. I think it's fascinating that the NBA, not only is he coming back November 23rd, but they're not going to Miami until later. He comes right back on December 19th, and that's an ESPN game at 7:30 on a Wednesday night. So I think the NBA is interested in that as well, those two games there.
Definitely.
One of them's prime time. And I think that's really cool because Miami, it's not necessarily one of the contenders in the East. I think Jimmy Butler decided he wanted to go somewhere where he could be the man. He didn't want to stay with the Sixers, didn't want to go to the Rockets and be part of a threesome, a big three. He wanted to go down somewhere. I think he likes the weather as well. And he wants to be the man somewhere.
I mean, really.
No, I agree. But he wants to be the man. Now,
right.
I and a lot of people would say, all right, he's kind of choosing that over winning, which I think, like, you have to say that.
It's pretty fair. No, that's fair to say. Yeah. If he wanted, his best opportunity to win would have been here, especially as opposed to Miami.
Or Houston. I
mean,
or they
Houston,
really wanted
sure.
But he's
yep.
like, okay. Or even going to get that ball.
There were even rumors that when Kawhi was recruiting right. several different players to kind of join him as a duo with the Clippers, Jimmy Butler was one of the people on that list. So he could have gone to L.A. and played with Kawhi, but he clearly, as you mentioned, didn't really want to play second fiddle to anybody. And, you know, that's what he chose. He chose that over winning basketball games, which, say what you will, everyone makes their choice. I'm not going to hold it against the guy. He did what he did. I'll tell you one game I'm really excited about, and it's going to be in the NBA, you know, 82 games, and as you mentioned, a lot of guys are going to get rest. A lot of things are going to happen. But I'm very curious, February 22nd at Milwaukee, on national TV, it's an ABC game on a Saturday night. That game is going to be a huge barometer test that's right in kind of the thick of the season against, as we've mentioned, the two teams that are really competing to be the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. So I'm very curious of that matchup. That could be a really big barometer. Right around the trade deadline too, so we'll see, you know, any new additions, anything like that. So that's a game I definitely have circled, and as you alluded to, that West Coast trip, the back-to-backs against the two LA teams, very interested in both of those games as well.
Yeah, it's going to be, and I tell you, the Wells Fargo Center, or as the Sixers website says, the center.
Sure.
I still see that on there. it's going to be rocking when LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers make their trip here, and that's on a Saturday night. We talked about it, January 25th.
That's my birthday, by the way.
There you go. well, you're still going to work, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
That's a huge one.
We'll be there.
And then Sunday, 12:30 p.m. So I guess maybe that's an actual 1 o'clock start time. They're putting that pregame show in there. But
sure.
The Clippers, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard come back. It's interesting. It's not going to be the same when the Sixers go back to Toronto.
No, not nearly the same.
Because it's a different team. Kawhi is not there. But, man, I remember the last time we were there and seeing that ball bounce four times into the basket. I mean, you think about how things could have been different and how the NBA changed because of that. I mean, let's say Kawhi Leonard doesn't win an NBA title. I guess he's still gone. He's probably still gone.
Yeah, probably still gone.
Yeah.
He made it – clearly his decision was not based upon the fact that of Toronto as a city, as an organization – he had a good time there. They won. What else could Toronto have done? And I think the answer is nothing. There is nothing they could have done to help entice Kawhi to stay there. He had his mind made up that he wanted to be on the West Coast. He got Paul George to come with him. And that team's going to be a juggernaut, man. They have a lot of – and it's not just those two. They have a really good supporting cast. Lou Williams, Landry Shamet, two former Sixers, Jamichael Green, Montrezl Harrell. I mean, they have a really deep roster. So I'm – very intrigued by the Clippers and what they bring. So that'll about do it for us here for the Sixers Talk podcast. For John Clark, I'm Paul Hudrick. Thanks for joining us.